Viewer discretion is advised. This is The Tea is Toxic.
I think so. Oh.
Hey!
And I'm not cutting that out. Happy that y'all come in. I shouldn't even have to introduce y'all with that one, but you can do it for the new listeners. Hello, teacups. Thank you for coming back to The Tea is Toxic. Mwah, 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 mwah. I'm going to let my guests introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Misha.
And I'm the badass.
From the Hot Garbage Show, True Crime Edition.
Still off the West Coast.
I hate both of you right now. Because y'all really came in. Let me tell y'all something. To be quite honest, because if you guys listen to the Tea is Toxic, any of the ones listening right now, then you guys will know that this is not the first nor second time that Hot Garbage has been on. You will therefore be prepared to anticipate Buddha at any time saying the word dick, with or without solicitation.
Just a no reason sometimes.
No reason. And so the opening of you coming on saying dick, I mean, y'all could have just been talking about chicken nuggets at McDonald's for all we know.
That's exactly where it started from.
Yeah. And then somehow the tree, it starts to break into branches that turn out to be dick. And so.
Yeah.
I mean, I use that as one of my monikers, though. Like, if I get fired or quit a job, guess what's happening? I'm rubbing my dick on something.
Yeah. And there you go. Exactly. You guys, I haven't had you guys on since earlier this year. I feel like y'all were either the first or second that I had on for this year. How's your year going so far, y'all?
Our year is going really good.
Yeah, we're doing a good amount. We started becoming nobodies. We wasn't shit before, but now we nobodies.
Yeah.
Turning into somebodies. I know that's right.
Yeah, right?
I love that.
Thank you for having us. We love you so much, AJ.
Listen, I love that you guys are on. I be having a blast with y'all, for real, for real. And it's funny because I always have different guests on, but there's having guests on and then there's just having family come back.
Yeah.
And that's y'all. Y'all are at the level of you just come in, you eat all the shit out my fridge. I'm like, now why would they grab my pistachios? That's where we're at. There's no knocking on the door. You have a key. And so.
Yeah.
So happy to have y'all back. So happy. I am, I'm doing okay this year. My numbers are going up a little bit. So thank you to everybody that's listening. Yay. So hype. I didn't mean to do that note in the form of Tadao by Masego. I hit that by accident. But so happy that everybody's thriving. You guys got a lot going on this year. And I'm so excited about that for y'all. Nisha, do you want to tell everybody where to find you in June?
Oh, yes. So I'm going to be on a new documentary coming out pretty soon. And I think it's either going to be June or July, but I'll keep you guys posted. And it's going to be on Tubi. So I'm excited to talk about more killers and murder and stuff. And in the meantime, you guys don't forget to look at Fresh Meat Killing Dahmer on Tubi, because I'm on there.
Right. And I'm still hating on it because they flying you out to L.A. and paying for your rooms and shit like that. And your ass ain't even took one headshot of me.
Oh,
you need to stop handing out Adam Sandler. Either you're gonna be Hitler or you're gonna be Adam Sandler. You gonna carry me or you gonna leave me behind?
I would never leave Buddha behind.
You're gonna dye your hair blonde and become Drew Hill on here. You're gonna become Cisco. Like, ooh. Try to make your own album. I'm the big dude bouncing. Tell me what your mama. I still got the jam. I still got it.
That's what you gotta do. You gotta let them know that you can't go anywhere without your bodyguard.
Yeah, because Buddha is definitely my bodyguard.
Absolutely. You gotta tell him he requires his rooms have all red Skittles, no other colors.
Alcohol. Yeah, plenty of alcohol for this man.
What is your go-to? Mm-hmm. Are you a white liquor drinker or dark liquor?
I am a white liquor drinker because I'm a functioning alcoholic.
Yeah.
I like to be able to go to work and drink my alcohol. When I came from the business world.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
I'm a light liquor drinker too, but that's only because I'm burnt out on dark liquor. My girlfriend, when we first started dating, that's all she made us drink was Hennessy. I will not touch Hennessy at all.
Right. This is all the little people drink.
But I don't like Hennessy. Yeah, I can't do Hennessy, but give me like, you know, Jack Daniels, something a little more smooth, you know. I guess it's like what, more like bourbons or something like that.
Oh yeah, I drink those. But let me tell you something. If I get something brown in me, anybody's getting fucked. Maybe your couch.
Absolutely.
Maybe your washing machine. Somebody getting it tonight if I get that brown in me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I definitely have an allergy to liquor. Anyone listening, my legs, they open. That's the allergy. So I'm a little more cautious. I always say, as soon as my legs, like all jokes aside, when I start to feel that tingling, you know, the tingling you get, like where you're losing the feeling in your legs.
Oh, yeah.
I start drinking some water. I'm like, okay, things are about to take a turn.
For the better. You got to make sure you're in the room with somebody you're attracted to and it's going down, right?
Yeah, no, that's what I do. But I thought when I start feeling the feeling, especially if I'm on the brown, I leave or I'm locking the door. It's one of the two.
Yeah.
Either I'm locking the door or I'm leaving because it's about to happen. I don't fuck somebody's grandma doing that.
Oh my God.
A liquor that'll make you horny around ugly people is diabolical decisions. Like, that's very low vibrational. Like, you could have called anybody into the building and you just sitting here, like, you know, sipping with like Gypsy Rose's husband. That's crazy.
Right?
Oh my God.
Will not be drinking dark liquor next to Dee Dee Blanchard's boy version of herself.
Oh my God. And why she said he takes her to Pound Town every night? I was like, okay, she likes that dude.
I mean, and I'm jealous. But at the same time, come on now.
Yeah, because we don't even know that's real Pound Town. That could be Shrimp Town.
All right.
I mean, right. Who knows if he's pounding it? I don't think so. But he's in there.
And on top of that, Gypsy Rose is a habitual liar. So,
right.
But, I mean, so is Scottie Pimpin's ex-wife talking about they had sex 5 times a day. Like, girl, please.
Because who got time? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you would have to literally not do shit else but that.
And I mean, like, exactly. And what else you shoot on day 2 or 3? You shooting out dust and white lint, clear liquid. They ain't they right. Mixed together. It's come out separate.
Yeah.
It's not possible. Mm-hmm. It's not possible. You guys, definitely go subscribe to listen to Hot Garbage if you want to know who is Gypsy Rose, who is Dee Dee Blanchard. That's where you need to go. You need to go over there to find that out because you're not going to find that out over here. Has to be there. And so I'm telling you where to be to understand the references.
Mm-hmm.
But I am going to get into the story for y'all. Okay. I decided to walk down y'all path.
Ooh.
Today.
Yeah, I'll be checking my shoe strings. We might just come over here and see you and break down your signs.
We're about to get
into it. My job. He'd be texting me all the time, like, how can I get like you? I'd be like, bitch, go do your own life.
Listen.
I do what I do. Don't try to come and take my job.
Listen, this one, I decided to let y'all, like, I did it where I want to try to feel at home.
Okay.
This one is a true crime story.
Oh, okay. Yay.
So we're going to get into it.
I love true crime.
Yes, you do. I'm okay with it, but you love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So shout out to Wikipedia for this one. So there were a couple places I could have went. And let me be transparent with you guys. After having to sit in a chair last week for 8+ hours to have my locks redone and then going through the entire week that I went through, I decided I don't want to watch these documentaries and things. I just didn't feel like it. I could have prioritized it, and I didn't. So now instead, we're at Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to read over everything. It is lengthy, but please do not make that a reason why you guys do not interrupt, talk, do your thing. Because if I got to skip a thing or two, I will.
Okay.
I'm going to try and push past the...
That's how I read every article. So that's how I read every article, is I skip a thing or two.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all right, here we go. Because there's a lot happening here. Okay. Take my time, but I'm gonna speed it up. I'm gonna take y'all to Pound Town. Here we go. So, this is a story of Robert Hansen.
Okay.
Okay. Robert Hansen was born on February 15th, 1939. So he's a Aquarius.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He's the eldest of two children. Mother's name is Edna Margaret Hansen. His father's Danish, a local baker, Christian Chris Hansen. And Robert was employed at his father's bakery.
Oh!
Girl, what, you used to date him?
No, I like the, I've heard this one. I know this one.
Okay,
we know boom, there we go. So, because now we can do that dialogues.
Yes!
Girl, she could give you some of these facts about some things like that. She know when he changed his diapers.
Oh, whatever.
Right. She be so living that life. I be coming in here and she has a shrine of murderers and she be trying to incorporate those fears into her. So then I'm your whore Negro.
Nisha needs to create a serial killer's coloring book. So Robert was employed at his father's bakery. The family does end up moving to Richmond, California in 1942, but then they returned to Iowa in 1949 and settled in Pocahontas, Iowa. In his youth, Hansen was painfully shy. He had a stutter. He suffered from severe acne. It left him permanently scarred. Because of it, he was a quiet loner. He had difficult relationships with people. He had a very aggressive father. He was bullied a lot at school. And like on his downtime,
I love how he things like these are just, you know, basic. He has a very aggressive father, got his ass whooped. You know, the normal.
Because you know why? It's the 1940s, and really, that is the normal. In my opinion, up until our generation, aggressive father, abusive home, killed an animal or two. That those are like the basics. And the fact that they make that the thing that determines serial killers is so interesting because it's like that's every American's experience as a kid.
That's
but
true.
I have yet to meet any white man that is over the age of 25 that hasn't killed an animal.
Oh my
exactly.
God. Like every white friend I have, they say black people own guns, white people own guns. And yeah. I mean multiple. They have a gun for every person in the family.
Fine.
My wife asked me why my kids ain't got guns already. I was like, he's seven. He was like, you should have a starter gun. What?
Yeah.
Oh my, well, that is true because so I have a friend who goes to the shooting range like all the time. And she was like, she's in there and there's literally kids 8 and 9 years old in there already, white kids.
Already turning the gun sideways.
Yeah.
White,
yeah.
Little white kids bucking down and already have like 2-3 bodies on
yeah.
them.
It's
so interesting you guys say that because it literally says like on Hansen's downtime, he started practicing hunting and archery.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's like, that was his refuge.
We just did Israel Keys, and like literally, that was his refuge.
I mean, that's what they do. I've been invited on multiple hunting things. I've been having white friends for a while. I've been invited to multiple hunting trips, and they tell you how much they love a deer right when they shoot them in the face.
And you say no to that, right? Because
no, I've gone just to see what's real.
Do you shoot deers?
I make sure I'm strapped. Well, girl, I make sure I'm strapped for myself first, and then the deer second.
So you sit here and you've shot a deer before.
Don't judge me. Have you eaten chicken?
Well, you know what? We're not going to get into this.
Someone shot that chicken at you, ate.
Because we're on the tea is toxic right now, but Buddha, you get on my nerves with this.
Girl, you get on my
nerves.
You're
an animal fucking you killer. Eat you're an animal.
Animals.
You're an
you
animal
kill
killer.
More animals than me.
Anyway.
Don't you start with me.
But you guys know what does not have animals in it?
What?
The tea's body butter, which you guys can get on teaistoxic.com. So we're going to get back to it really quick. But there that you will find vegan dairy-free products.
Yes. I ordered mine last night. My body's about to be so good.
Did you know that they found out that plants can sleep and plants dream and plants make
we're
love?
Talking about body butter right now.
You're
so
killing things when you kill plants too.
Anyways.
He said you like those corpses you call salads, Nisha.
Right? They would die on those corpses like they can't scream in silence.
See, and I love salad. Buddha's using my weakness against me because right. He knows I love salad.
It's the same thing.
He anyway. Said, oh, you
and
think
they
that
live
that's,
longer after being shot, so they just watch you eat them.
Right. He said, oh, you think that's perspiration? Those are tears. That is the tears of an iceberg. Mm-mm. So In 1957, he enlisted in the United States Army Reserve and served a year before being discharged. He later worked as an assistant drill instructor at a police academy in Pocahontas, and there he began a relationship with a younger woman who he married in the summer of 1960. Now, clearly, like I said, he was discharged quite early from the Army. So let's get right into the crimes. I'm rushing through this because the victims, there are details with that.
Okay.
And I try not to have anybody on for longer than an hour. And I know that we're going to have a lot of dialogue as well. So that's the reason why I'm going. So yes. On December 7, 1960, he was arrested for burning down a Pocahontas County school bus garage. To him, this was revenge for his lack of popularity in high school. He served 20 months of a three-year prison sentence in Anamosa State Penitentiary. And during his incarceration, he was diagnosed with both manic depression and periodic schizophrenic episodes. And the psychiatrist who made the diagnosis also noted that Hansen had an infantile personality, which really, y'all, that just means he was emotionally immature and was obsessed with getting back at people he felt had wronged him. Hansen's wife filed for divorce while he was incarcerated. And I guess you could also call those things like the modern day narcissism.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so he goes to jail, he loses his wife, he's diagnosed as a lunatic. And over the next few years, he's jailed several times for petty theft. In 1967, he moved to Anchorage, Alaska, which becomes way more rural. So moving to Alaska is the setup to get into some shit, okay?
With well, I have a thing about Alaska. They seem like it's popping. They be digging gold out there and everything.
I heard Alaska got crazy gangs out there.
Yeah, dude. Like, I heard
it's popping in Alaska now. Yeah. And I don't watch Gold Rush. You can pull money out the ground.
Uh-huh.
And I'm telling you, I'll be playing Amigos every time I watch that show. Ounces, ounces, ounces.
Oh my goodness.
So he married his second wife in 1963. And they had two children. Now, in Anchorage, Alaska, he was well-liked by his neighbors and set several local hunting records. December 1971, he was arrested twice. First for abducting and attempting to sexually assault an unidentified housewife. And then for actually sexually assaulting an unidentified prostitute.
I don't like how a housewife got unidentified on the same level as a prostitute. Like, motherfucker, she got a home and a whole ass man.
Well, my thing that I think is very interesting is that it was an alleged attempt with the housewife, but it was a guarantee with the prostitute. But that is the career of the prostitute.
I didn't even think about that.
I'm just saying, if I done earned my way to being housewife and I'm doing all this, don't put me in the same category. Like, I'm just unidentified. Like, no, my name is Samantha Gordon.
That's
and
facts.
This shit did happen to me.
Oh, that's my facts. Goodness.
That's facts.
Yeah.
So he pled no contest to assault with a deadly weapon in the former offense. The rape charge involved the prostitute was dropped as part of a plea bargain. And then he was sentenced to 5 years in prison. But in good old white privilege fashion, y'all, sorry, not sorry for the facts. After serving a whopping 6 months of his sentence, he was placed on a work release program and released to a halfway house.
But right?
Girl, I just told you on the last show how I'm wasting my skin.
Oh, yeah.
Buddha, I'm about to do this shit.
Yeah.
I'm about to look like Michael Jackson in front of your ass. You better just beat it.
In 1967, he pled guilty to larceny after he was caught stealing a chainsaw from an Anchorage Fred Meyer store. He was then sentenced to 5 years in prison and required to receive psychiatric treatment for his bipolar disorder. And the Alaska Supreme Court reduced his sentence and he was released with time served. You know, here's the thing, though, because I just thought about it, y'all. I think that one of the reasons he may have been released for the assault charges is because it wasn't as high of a criminal charge. Like, you know, sometimes when the jail starts to fill up, they'll release, like, those who have pettier crimes and things.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you have good behavior.
They have too many Negroes in there.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing about a narcissist is they know how to gaslight you. They know how to love bond you. They know how to play a character. And so if he knows how to play people and, you know, go along to get along, yeah, I could definitely see it.
That makes sense, though.
Sound like you dated a narcissist.
No, I have.
I come from a family of narcissists, if I'm going to be very transparent. So I know exactly what to look for. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you sound like you knew that personally, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely do. Absolutely. I know exactly what will happen in the time frame it will happen if I reach back out and forgive them and talk to them today. I can tell you in the specific order, the direction that relationship will go. There will never be a sorry. There will never be a conversation about what was done. There will be unnecessary love bombing. There will be extreme gaslighting. And sometimes it's just not worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
And then once they have you back into like their grips and they start building this relationship that you think you guys are forming, that's when it all comes crashing back down again. And whether it takes a year, 2 years, 5 years, they're going to repeat that cycle. It never
fails. Yeah.
That's why I stick to
be careful.
Yeah.
What'd you say? I didn't hear you. What'd you say, Buddha?
I said, I stick to good old fashioned stalkers.
Yes.
Knock at my door and you're mine forever.
That's a way more safe. That's a way safer bet. You know?
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, because you know that they're in love with you, they're infatuated, and they really mean it.
Yeah.
They send you a vial of blood and a necklace and ask you to wear it, and you guys share a vial of blood. Who does that?
Oh, my goodness.
But psycho people, right?
Completely. I did that. Okay,
oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I gave my girlfriend one Valentine's Day, I gave her a vial of my blood and a necklace, and she refused to wear it or fill hers up.
Right. You kept asking her to give me the blood. She's like, when are you going to fill your blood?
Hold up. One goddamn minute. Nisha, did you just say you gave your girl a vial of blood?
Yes. Yeah,
of her blood.
So
I got a jeweler to put it in.
So for Valentine's Day, I got a special vial. Like, it was like a jewelry. It was like a necklace. And I filled my blood up with it because I heard to give someone a vial of blood, that's like the highest form of love. I learned, because I'm into vampires, I learned that from the show, The Vampire Diaries. So I was like, well, this would be romantic. So I bought a kit, gave it to her. She didn't like it. In fact, she refused to fill hers up. And then on top of that, she on purposely, like, she accidentally lost it,
quote unquote.
I'm doing using air quotes, and she didn't even give a fuck about it.
Well, she didn't tell you she didn't give a fuck. She told you she was trying to look for it, but just couldn't find it.
She said that
you took it and didn't give a fuck.
She said it fell out through a. Okay, so mind you, so she has this necklace that she always wears that her mom got her for graduation.
Bro, why you don't the mama necklace?
Because I'm giving an example, so the listeners has an example. Uh-huh. And this one was like a 14 karat gold necklace, and one time the chain broke, she lost this, freaked out, like she like almost cried, looked everywhere to find it, right? And I was helping her look for it. Now, when my blood necklace fell, she said, and she didn't even tell me this happened. I had to bring it up, and this was like weeks ago. She was like, oh, I lost it that like 2 weeks ago, and it fell out through a hole in my backpack. Didn't even freak out. And I said, so you didn't freak out like you did your mom's necklace? And she was like, oh, I didn't think anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
That was my blood. I stabbed myself.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, like, but I need you to hear everything you just said.
Girl.
You literally said, I stabbed myself for this jewelry. And that's where
True love.
I did. I stabbed myself. But I think she thinks I'm psycho.
Girl, that's that true love. I want somebody stabbing themselves. Yes.
I don't want anybody stabbing themselves for me.
A knife on your wrist, girl. Here we go.
Oh my God. You know, so interesting you say that, because that gives me like it's us to the end. I forget where I heard it at recently. I might have listened to it on a podcast. I don't remember, y'all. But, or I might have read it, whatever. I'm like a little walking, talking Google. But there were grandparents, and they had promised to die together, right? And so grandma passed away. And when she passed away, granddad died a few days later because he kept running himself into the wall one night.
Oh.
And I'm like,
what the hell?
So that he could meet her on the other side. Nisha, you on that ba bum ba bum bum bum. Like, I don't need that cross loves love. Like, and I'm like, oh, everybody, like, no, that's too much love for me.
So you wouldn't have worn the necklace either?
I would have been really dramatic. I would have, like, smeared all the blood all over my face and freaked you out even more.
What?
Good stuff.
And then I would have been like, see, it's not fun, is it? Like, I would have...
Hell no. That's crazy. That's crazy.
That's the crazy part. It's your blood. How did I get the blood? You gave it to me.
With love, though. The blood was filled with love.
And now I have tenderized my face, and I will have the face of an infant child for at least 30 years, thanks to Nisha's blood.
Right. Oh, right. Your love will be in her pores.
In my pores. You make my love.
If anybody kisses her on the cheek, they're kissing your love.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
As soon as they lean in to try and have me cheat on you, I go, you know my girlfriend's blood is all over my face for life, right?
Oh, yeah, right. By the way, I apologize about my dog barking. I don't know if you heard that. Fine.
No problem.
Now, the funny thing is, I do something else to kind of claim a woman. If I really like you, I do something to you. I don't put blood on you.
What do you do?
You already know.
Oh, demon? My God.
No, I rub my dick on your body. Every place I can.
He rubs his dick in her ear.
And my balls, too. I rub my dick and balls all over your body. Face, hair. It's a process. This is something like a two-day process. But I rub my dick all over your body.
You said your ears, too.
The earlobes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And inside, you try to put it in her ear.
I put the tip in and look up one ball under the lobe.
That's wild.
Rub it on her neck, her elbows. Lay her down. Like, I'll give you a full body massage, and then I start rubbing my dick on your body.
I don't know.
Because I love you so much.
I don't know where we go from here. I don't know where we go from here. I don't know.
I don't know where we got here.
I don't know if I have the same blood, number of listeners.
I'm the normal one.
I don't know if I'll have the same number of listeners after this episode. And so...
Girl, you never do after me. It's just how it goes.
Like, what's happening? Like,
I'm 50 Shades of Gray. I'm already 50. I'm 50 Shades of Black. That's
50
what it is.
Shades of Gray. Get that shit right. 69 Shades of Gray. Because
goddamn 59, right?
You just said that you stick and dick in ears.
I don't stick it all the way in because it can't fit, girl. The dick is thicker than the earlobe, than the ear hole. But I'm definitely, you know, rubbing it around, getting the feeling. We get to know each other. I get to know all of your skin, like a whole ass treatment. I feel like I missed a spot, we got to go back on it. Like, let me get your left elbow again.
Before we get back into this, I just want to say, here's where the issue lies for me with that. It's very easy for my dreams to be altered based on my surroundings, the smells, the temperature, the light, the dark. So I can only imagine me having an amazing dream, possibly one that includes a loved one who's passed that I haven't had an opportunity to see in my dream for a while. And then out of nowhere, just a whiff of dick and ball switches the entire dynamic. And the family member I've been waiting years to talk to just dissolves away. And all of a sudden, it's just like raining Buddha's balls. I don't understand.
And it can't happen. One of the family members turns into my penis, and they're still talking to you.
If my mind rewinds tonight, and a family member I love turns into your dick, I'm getting on a plane, and you are in so much trouble because I'm flying out.
I'm going to just say you're welcome.
Immediately flying out. Because Nisha gonna be holding me back. I'm like, nah, because you turned my auntie into like we not doing that, bro. Like,
that's... Right, girl, welcome to true love.
Could you imagine?
Is this love that I'm feeling?
I'm not doing it. I'm not gonna have a dream tonight of a penis with a blood encrusted necklace on. No. we're gonna get into the murders and capture of some of these individuals, which is good. We have some time, y'all. So if y'all are here through the banter, great. Y'all will survive. So anyway, murders and capture. Hansen is believed to have started killing around 1972. Okay. The way that they feel like he was killing was he would stalk a woman. That way he could learn her habits. Then he'd eventually pick her up in his car, force her at gunpoint to his home. That's where he'd assault her. And then there are times where he would take her to a secluded area and then release her out so that he could hunt her.
Oh, yeah.
Like he was wild game before shooting or stabbing her.
They need to start a movie with this guy.
And basically, he treated like his women like they were deers, like they basically like they were animals. Absolutely. He would hunt them.
And to say this, Buddha, they have done a movie about this. So I'll mention it at the end. I think that the information that you can see, like, more detail is there, because I was telling my stylist about it last week, and she was like, yeah, I remember this movie. So some of the women that he murdered were exotic dancers or prostitutes, and unfortunately, a lot of them were teenagers. It is believed that his first murder victim was an 18-year-old named Celia Van Zanten, who was kidnapped on December 22nd, 1971, and frozen to death in the wilderness after escaping from him. Her body was discovered on December 25th, so rest in peace to her. You guys, there's going to be a lot of rest in peace, because amidst us having this conversation, and sometimes I get a little more jovial, I do still want to say the rest in peace, so that, just to acknowledge that these were lives that were taken at the same time, you know?
Right.
Now, the abduction...
We be jovial, but we do not mean any disrespect to anyone.
Yeah, exactly. The giggles have nothing to do with the murder. It has everything to do with Nisha stabbing herself. The abduction occurred 3 days after Hansen committed his assault on the prostitute that he was in prison for. So, interestingly enough, before they, you know, gathered him up, he was out there still continuing. While there are some similarities between Hansen's and original way that he handles things and the abduction of Van Zanten, there's no conclusive evidence linking him to the attack, and he himself denied that involvement. But on June 1983, he offered a 17-year-old Cindy Paulson $200 to perform orally on him. And when she got into the car, he pulled out a gun and drove her to his home in Muldoon. There, he held her captive and proceeded to assault her and torture her. She later told police that after Hansen chained her by the neck to a post in his basement, he took a nap on a nearby couch. When he awoke, he put her in his car and took her to Merrifield Airport, where he told her that he intended to, quote, take her out to his cabin, which was a shack in the Nick River area of the Matanuska-Susitna Valley, accessible only by boat or bush plane.
Let's be real. Every cabin I've ever been in is just a shack.
Yeah, that's pretty much what a cabin is to me.
Yeah, but to access it, you have to go by boat, or you got to go by one of those little small planes.
Well, that's death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paulson, crouched in the backseat of the car with her wrists cuffed in front of her body, saw a chance to escape when Hansen was busy loading the cockpit of his airplane, a Piper PA-18 Super Cub. While Hansen's back was turned, Paulson crawled out of the back seat, opening the driver's side door, and ran toward nearby 6th Avenue. She later told police that she had left her blue sneakers on the passenger side floor of the sedan's back seat as evidence that she had been in Hansen's car. Hansen panicked and chased her, but Paulson reached 6th Avenue and managed to flag down a passing truck. The driver, Robert Young, alarmed by Paulson's disheveled appearance, stopped and picked her up. He drove her to the Mush Inn, where she jumped out of the truck and ran inside. While she pleaded with the clerk to phone her boyfriend at the Big Timber Motel, Young continued on to work, where he called the police to report the incident. You know, I think it's always so sad that it doesn't matter what race you are. In situations such as this, nobody trusts the cops. They just know they're not going to do their job. She said, call my boyfriend before she said, call the police.
Mm-hmm.
Because the cops will put you through, you know, as a number and, you know, wait for this and due process. And, you know, well, maybe he didn't. And let's go talk to him.
Yeah, now like, you're the villain. You
somebody who cares.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. They'll literally do the blame game.
Right? Like, I think as a public announcement, everyone, when you feel that you are reaching that level where I'm going to the point where they're going to definitely kill me, you need to have something switch in your mind. Everybody in the planet, will you just activate and just go berserk? Don't let a motherfucker just take you. You seen Karate Kid? He ain't the biggest order breaker. If you don't make yourself an easy target, it's not going to happen as well again. Or maybe you could be that one to stop it.
Right.
You can jump on one leg and kick him in the mouth. Who knows?
Exactly. Now, when the Anchorage Police Department, APD, officers arrived at the Mush Inn, they were told that Paulson had taken a cab to the Big Timber Motel. They arrived there and found her in room 110, still handcuffed and alone. She was taken to the headquarters, where she described the perpetrator. Hanson was then questioned by the officers, denied her accusation, stating that she was trying to cause trouble for him because he would not pay her extortion demands. This excuse became one Hanson used on other occasions, but although he had several prior run-ins with the law, his meek, there it is, y'all, his meek demeanor and humble occupation as a baker, along with an alibi from his friend John Henning, persuaded police not to consider him a serious suspect.
Privilege. Oh, how do you find a woman handcuffed?
Because he was a riot.
And he's like, it wasn't me. And you found her in the shower?
Right. It nah, man.
Me. Handcuffed to my bed? It wasn't me.
And talk about because he was a baker, what? Like, that's what got me.
You know, I'll be baking cookies. It wasn't me.
Right. If you're bribing the police department with donuts, just say that.
Just say that, right? Because that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Because you're a baker, you can't be a murderer. I didn't know that.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, and he found her handcuffed.
Exactly. And disheveled like a mug. Detective Glenn Floth of the Alaska State Troopers had been part of the team investigating the discovery of several bodies in and around Anchorage, okay, Seward and Matanuska-Sitsitney Valley area. The first of the bodies was found by construction workers near Elklutna Road. The body, dubbed Elklutna Annie by investigators, has never been identified. Later that year, the body of Joanna Messina was discovered in a gravel pit near Seward. And in 1982, the remains of 23-year-old Sherry Morrow were discovered in a shallow grave near the Nick River. Floth believed that all three women had been murdered by the same perpetrator. Da-da! Floth then contacted the Federal Bureau of Investigation. You guys, FBI, I don't even know why I said it all out like that. Special Agent John Douglas, and requested help with an offender profile based on the three recovered bodies. Now, through the killer, Douglas thought the killer would be an experienced hunter with low self-esteem, have a history of being rejected by women, would feel compelled to keep souvenirs of his murders, such as jewelry. He also suggested that the assailant might stutter. You know,
what type of profile do you guys have on these? Like, how deep is this?
How do you get that stutter part in?
Yeah. No.
It's so interesting.
Was it the spray of the cum or the pee on the body? You know, it was kind of, you know, jittery. He was like, duh, 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 duh. Oh, it made me cum. So you could tell he sprayed in three different spots. Like, what are you saying?
I always wonder how they know.
Because that they have such a deep profile, and that just happens so often. They're like, you know what? This guy's left-handed. And he likes blue lipstick.
Yeah, and it's crazy deep. Because I did a story, season one, I guess you could call it, of Tea is Toxic, John, whatever his name is, who killed his family and got away and da-da-da.
Oh, I remember
and
that story.
They did a clay, like, of him and had him down to the teeth. It was like, no, because he probably wears glasses as a cover-up, even though he doesn't need them. Like, what?
I'm telling you, the white single male killer has been out there.
Yeah.
It's been there.
Yeah, definitely.
Jack the Ripper is famous in their world.
Yeah, definitely.
That's wild. Using the profile, Floth investigated possible suspects until he reached Hanson, who fit the profile and owned a plane. Now supported by Paulson's testimony and Douglas' profile, Floth and the APD secured a warrant to search Hanson's plane and vehicle and home. In October 27, 1983, they uncovered jewelry that belonged to some of the missing women, as well as an array of firearms in a corner hideaway of Hanson's attic, which included a 223 caliber Ruger, a mini 14 semi-automatic rifle. Also found was an aeronautical chart with 37 little X marks on it, hidden behind Hanson's headboard.
Maybe I'm mad at him.
That's crazy.
Damn.
Because of the fact that you psycho motherfucker and you own a plane and on some astronautical charts with some multi-$1,000 weapons, bitch. What job did you apply for? Because I haven't seen that on Craigslist.
Right, how are you a
billionaire? Are they hiring your psycho's demented ass at? And why haven't you called me and let me know that they open?
Right. Because what was his job? He was just a banker, right? What was his job?
Like, what type of money was they paying him? This there's some definite discrimination. I'm calling racism.
Right.
I've never heard a banker with a plane.
I've never heard of a banker.
He was a butcher baker.
Oh, wow. Like, yeah, he was. So I'm like, what kind of donuts? You know, I kind of want to eat at that bakery. I just want to taste what he was cooking.
I've met people that work at Dunkin' Donuts and they ain't got a fucking plane. You telling me they're a big corporation and your no-name motherfucking place is over here busting it out with
right.
I didn't even think about that.
And you're Dunkin' a baker in an area that doesn't have a large population.
Oh, that right? too. What
is the price of your donuts?
Damn, what do you think he was charging?
Cocaine prices. They had to have been like at least 25 per donut.
He was charging the prices of the bricks, not the actual bags.
There it is.
For real. I kind of want to eat them donuts.
That bro was over here like Gucci man, like, yeah.
Now, when he was confronted with the evidence found in his home, Hansen denied it as long as he could, but he eventually began to blame the women and tried to justify his actions, eventually confessing to each item of evidence as it was presented to him. He admitted to a spree of attacks against Alaskan women starting in 1971, and his earliest victims were girls or young women, usually between the ages of 16 and 19, and not prostitutes or exotic dancers, unlike some of the victims who led to his discovery.
What a fucking asshole.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to tell you guys about...
They make you do it.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you guys about several of the victims.
Okay.
I'm just seeing how many are here, because I'm seeing the time. I know we still got some time. But before we get into the victims, let me go ahead into his imprisonment, okay? Now, once he was arrested, he was charged with assault, kidnapping, multiple weapons offenses, theft, and insurance fraud. The last charge was related to a claim filed with the insurance company over the alleged theft of some trophies. He used the proceeds to purchase his plane, so now we know where the plane came from.
Oh,
well, fake trophies.
That makes sense.
He stole some trophies, and I guess he like pawned them or something and used the proceeds he got from the trophies to buy his plane.
Trophies are worth money like that?
Get a hold of my Jordan trophies. See how much money you get for that.
Girl, I don't. Too. I'm like, I need to get on my Pawn Star shit right isn't now. That, like,
trophies? Isn't that what OJ got in trouble for? Because he was stealing his trophies.
No, he broke
into somebody's house and stole his stuff back. Yeah,
right. But it was Hall trophies, of Fame right? stuff, oh, though. Okay. Like, that's different, girl. That's different.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it was trophies, all right. Oh no,
he was going back to steal his memorabilia.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, trophies might be worth a lot because everybody's stealing trophies.
That was just sentimental. Them trophies were worth jack shit. Like, ain't nobody buying no OJ trophy.
It was something, right. Okay.
I thought they had done like an auction and somebody purchased it and then he broke into their house to get it back and then he got hit with all that time that he was supposed to get for that body.
Let's not forget, Michael Jordan did the same thing when he was wearing number 45 and he wanted to get his number 23 back and they retired it. That man broke into a building and got his jersey back.
Damn, I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Did he get in trouble?
He could pay for it, though. He was still rich enough.
And you know, those prisons definitely helped fill his pockets. So Hansen showed, I'm petty like that, y'all. Apologies. So Hansen showed investigators. Yeah, I mean,
there's going to be a Jordan logo on the next prison build.
You said what happened?
I said they're gonna start putting Jordan logos on prisons.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be surprised. So Hansen did show investigators 17 grave sites in and around South Central Alaska, 12 of which were unknown to the investigators. So those weren't even the ones they knew existed yet. There remained marks on the map that he refused to give up, including 3 in Resurrection Bay near Seward. Authorities suspect 2 of these marks are the graves of Mary Till and Megan Emmerich, whom Hansen had denied killing. The remains of 12 of probable 21 to 37 victims were exhumed by the police and returned to their families. Now, Hansen was sentenced to 461 years in prison without the possibility of parole.
Shit. Okay. Well, good move to his ass.
I mean, if he get enlightened by Buddha, he's still going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
He died in August 21st, 2014, age 75. While I'm pulling up the individuals.
I didn't get that one. How did he die?
Let me see if it says. Probably old age. Yeah. Right? It said he died due to natural causes related to lingering health conditions.
Could it also write down like whoever was born at that exact moment they put that baby in jail too? Like, we want to make sure we caught your spirit going to another body, motherfucker. You ain't Chucky. Get your ass in here.
Stay right there. You stayed very right there. I do think that it's always so sad. You know, they said this man got 461 years. What was an extra 200-300 for the bodies you wouldn't tell them about? And I think that's so messed up because picking and choosing the confession to set some families free, like all of a sudden that makes you a martyr for the cause. Like, tell them where all the bodies are buried. That way all yeah. the families can get that, you know, that peace of mind.
Could yeah. be decent of them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we have 15 minutes. We're going to get into it, y'all. We're going to start with Celia Beth Van Santrin. Okay? Celia was 18 years old at the time. She was mentioned earlier. She was at home with two of her three older brothers on December 22nd, 1971. And the three of them shared a house on Kinnick Avenue in South Anchorage, close to Northern Lights Boulevard, with their older brother and cousin. Her parents resided in a different home in Anchorage. In the late evening, Beth left her house and walked a few blocks to the nearby Bi-Lo supermarket. The Bi-Lo or Bi-Lo closed at 9 p.m., and she left at 8:30. Between 8:45 and 9 p.m., a witness spotted Beth go to the Bi-Lo. At around 9 p.m., a neighbor claimed to have spotted her on the Northern Lights Boulevard. She never reached the Bi-Lo. Her disappearance was reported 2 days later. On December 25th, 1971, her body was discovered at Chugach State Park, close to Anchorage. Her chest had been sliced with a knife, and she had been bound and subjected to assault. Which kind of assault? You guys already know. I just don't like saying the word so many times. She had been dumped, still alive, into a deep ravine before passing away from exposure. According to forensic evidence, she attempted to climb back up the slope, but was unable to do so due to her bindings. Hansen has been accused of killing her because of an X on his aircraft map, but he denied responsibility for both her death and other women's homicides who were not involved in prostitution. So rest in peace to her. Mm. Megan Chabon Emmerich, I'm going to start with the rest in peace to Megan, was 17. She vanished on July 7, 1973 in Seward, Alaska. She was last spotted leaving a dorm laundry room while attending the boarding school Seward Skill Center. She had not been seen or heard from since, and she left behind all her personal items, including her identification. Before contacting the police, her roommate conducted a 3-day search for her. Hansen denied killing her to authorities, but he did admit he was in Seward on the day Megan vanished. Due to an X on his aircraft map in the Seward region, he is thought to be responsible. Da-da-da-da. I just can't with that. Apparently, Hansen admitted to a former inmate that he transported Megan to a cabin in the Seward region that was only reachable by boat, where he killed and buried her.
Inmates be snitching.
Yeah, I do.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, really.
They trying to get out. They don't want 461 years.
Why?
Because you could tell me everything you want, and what am I going to do? I'm going to make sure I write confessions all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get up out of there. I got things to do.
See, that's why I don't never tell an inmate anything. I don't know why people
really?
Do that.
All the times you've been in jail, you haven't told them?
No, I was saying, yeah, whatever. Anyways.
Have you been to jail, Nisha? Wait a minute.
No, I only went to the holding cell one time, and that was it.
Gotcha.
So I haven't been to, like, real, like, actually.
Yeah, she makes it sound like she's in that bars over here. Like, yeah. She got years on her block over here.
But I know for a fact that from researching all these cases, everybody's looking to get out. So you tell them something of confidence, you have no friends in there. They're going to go straight to whatever and be like, hey, this person told me information about your case. So, you know what
exactly.
I mean? Like, can I have to tell them? I don't trust nobody in there.
You're going to be that woman in there sharpening your nails like they claws and be just talking to yourself.
Yeah, I'm just going to talk to myself.
You got a plan and that person will come up dead for the damn reason.
Right. Yeah.
What kills me is why are grown men pillow talking in the night? Like, yeah, right. You know, there was this one it chick I didn't tell them about. Like, what?
It is, let's not take the masculinity out of it.
Do
it's okay
talk,
to pillow talk. If you give me some good nana, you may hear some information from me.
Oh, no. But you
but
can't
it's prison. Prison.
Oh, like, yeah, it is prison. So there, nobody gave you anything. So what are you pillow talking about?
Yeah, they did. Wait a minute, we talking
or
about American
boys.
Somebody gave you something. And let me tell you, some of them got booties bigger than Nicki Minaj up in that mofo.
That's fact.
Oh my goodness.
That's fact.
So
a lot
she gave me a little something. I'll be like, you know what, girl? I mean, I'm not going to tell you about no murders, but I did steal a stick of gum one good time. Mm-hmm. Can I get some? Like, I mean, if that's what it costs to get into this Nicki Minaj booties, And I mean, I'm not gonna see nothing for 400 years. I'm about to dig you out like a camel toe.
Because I heard, I don't know if that happens in all prisons, but I've heard that when you have inmates, male inmates that are more feminine, or, you know, are part of the LGBT, they'll be kept separate from the masculine.
So if you get a chance to get close to one of them, woo, they go crazy.
Yeah, I like popcorn.
Mm-hmm. Well, sounds good, huh?
And like I said, pillow talk is, let's be real. What pillow talk is a guy trying to brag and impress a lady.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We call it pillow talk. Like, he's just laying there, you know, after he got some of these halfway drooling, like, yes, I killed like 50 people and I'm going to confess to all of them. Like, in actuality, you know, she's saying stuff like, I don't know, my last boyfriend was kind of rough. Be like, man, fuck your old dude, girl. He don't know what I did. Let me tell you right now, I feel like a child. I ain't give a fuck. She was like 3 years old, bust her in the head with a hammer because I'm real like that. And if your dude come around here, I do that same thing to him too.
That's true. That is pillow talking.
That's how I do.
So let's see. Let's run through a few more of these. Rest in peace to Mary Kathleen Till, who we did speak about earlier, who disappeared from Seward, Alaska. Her husband was away from work. He was away working. She's 22. He was working on the Transatlantic Alaska pipeline, and she lived on the Lower Point Road. She was driven into town by a friend who then dropped her off at a local bakery between 1:30 and 2 p.m. A different acquaintance saw her by a waterfall on Lower Point Road. She had not been seen or heard from since. Excuse me. Hansen acknowledged being in Seward on that day. That Till vanished. But once again, he denied killing her. But look at that. There goes that X on the aviation chart again, y'all.
Girl.
He had it planned out. He was ready.
He's always ready. He said, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
rest in peace.
I say that all the time. I like that saying.
Yeah. Did he invent the saying? Did murderers invent that saying?
I hope so.
Serial killers probably do.
Right? Serial killers are probably the ones that invented that saying.
No, they stay
right. Watching there, because remember, like they said too, which is not being mentioned here, but it still is a thing, he's watching the patterns of certain people.
Mm-hmm.
So he's watching your every move. He's seeing how you operate, how you're moving day to day, you know.
Sound like a Tyler Perry movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Rest in peace to Aklutna Annie, whose remains were discovered buried next to a power line in wooded area 1 mile south of South Aklutna Lake Road. That was the Jane Doe. Rest in peace to Joanna Messina, who went out to dinner with Hansen on May 19th, 1980 while she was working in Seward. According to Hansen, before Messina offered him sex in exchange for cash, everything was going smoothly. Hansen refused to pay and refused to release her, so he drove her and her dog to a distant place by the Snow River. He hit her with a .22 caliber revolver before shooting her twice and the dog once. He brought Messina's body to a gravel pit nearby and dumped gravel over her body. The dog and Messina's belongings were thrown into the woods, and the gun was thrown into the Snow River. And on July 8th, the dog.
The woman got shot twice and thrown in the river, and your ass over here, all the dog.
Well, July 8th, 1980, her severely decomposed body was found after it had been eviscerated by wildlife.
Oh, my goodness. What about the dog?
What about the dog? Didn't you just hear that her body got disemboweled and eviscerated? She's the word eviscerated. How often do you use that word?
I just want to know what happened
about to the wild dog. Animals. What happened to the dog? Nature. That's what happened.
Go ahead and tell her, though.
Yeah, the dog, they didn't mention the dog any further, but...
No one else does, but you...
Oh, anyways.
Now, rest in peace to Roxanne Eastland. On June 28th, 1980, the 24-year-old vanished.
Nisha wants to say rest in peace, whatever the dog's name was.
What was...
rest in peace, the little dog.
Rest in peace, Roscoe.
Yes. She had been residing at the Budget Motel on Spinard Road in Anchorage, Alaska, with her boyfriend for the previous 2 weeks. On that day, she was scheduled to meet an unnamed man downtown on 4th Ave. She has not been seen or heard from since. Although Hansen did admit to killing her, her body was never discovered. Rest in peace to Lisa Futrell. She was working at a nightclub in Anchorage. She met and was subsequently kidnapped by Hanson on September 6, 1980, when the 41-year-old failed to return home following her September 7th shift at the club. Her two younger housemates reported her missing. Her body was discovered on May 9th, 1984, 4 years later, y'all, buried next to a gravel pit south of the former Nick Arm Bridge. Rest in peace to Sherry Morrow. She was a 23-year-old topless dancer, told her friend she was meeting a photographer who had promised her $300 for nude images on November 17, 1981. She was never seen again. A shallow grave was discovered by hunters on the banks of the Nick River, which borders Anchorage, on September 12, 1982. She had been reported missing a year earlier, but her, you know, when they found her remains, that's when she was identified.
He is one of the reasons why the women of the night are not as trusting as it used to be. Remember, you had a prostitute be like, she has a heart of gold. Now they're all bitches and cuss you out until you show them money.
Yeah, that's facts.
He has changed the industry.
Yeah.
Prostitution. And it looks I didn't pay for it, but they was so tempting and so nice. And even though they had their coochie out walking around with just a t-shirt on, they seemed like they was approachable.
Yeah.
Now, I don't, number one, like I said, I never paid for it, but I don't even know how to come up to you. Because they almost seem like every one of them got a gun.
You gotta flash the money and let them know you're serious.
Right?
Yeah.
And they all know the standard is, you know, for some reason, you don't get in a car with a black guy. And that's like the hooker standard.
Mm-hmm. Now, this one, it does look as though, based off of how she died, it looks like she was hunted. Because the shots that she received were from a 2023 Ruger Mini 14 hunting rifle.
So
it was. Yeah. Andrea Mona Fish Altieri, rest in peace to her. At 11 p.m. on December 2nd, 1981, the 21-year-old was last seen boarding a taxi to go to the Boniface Mall in Anchorage. She intended to meet an unnamed male for a photo shoot and to perform exotic dances. She had not been seen or heard from since. When they searched Hanson's house, several of her possessions, including her fish necklace, were discovered. And Hanson claimed that after he met her, he threatened her with a gun and abducted her, blindfolded and handcuffed her near the Nick Arm Bridge. They took a car to a service road off Palmer Highway. He unbound her there and abused her. We know what kind. He killed her with a .22 Browning automatic pistol after she retaliated. He then stole her necklace, weighted a duffel bag with gravel, tied it to the dead woman, and threw her off the bridge. Her body was never found.
A good amount of these, I feel like, will be preventative. If you know what, y'all, don't worry about. Ain't nobody named Mathis or Judy, so they ain't gonna be your judge. Tell somebody of your life. Don't be mad about who you are. Don't hate on who you. If you who you is, then be who you is. You a hoe and you can't stop getting dick inside you, and that's what you want, and some reason makes you happy. Okay, so let somebody know. Because, we're becoming an unknown man with the unknown event, and we go into unknown things. Like, tell your friend, like, there's a guy named Charlie trying to take naked pictures of me.
I'm not telling you.
I want you to know where I'm about to be at. So if I don't call back tomorrow, call that nigga Charlie.
See, but the sad part is that's so true. But that's something that's back then, you know, they didn't have the technology. But I will say, when I was dating after my first divorce, and I would go on blind dates, or, you know, you're meeting someone for the first time, I would send my friend the location of where I'd be, or I'd have my location turned on. Even when I went to New Orleans this year, I had my location turned on. And then I would take a picture of their license plate, because I'd be driving behind them. I never get in the car with them. If I do get in the car, we're meeting somewhere, so I already have that license plate. I send them their social media account, because one thing about it, you're going to find me.
You gonna know where I was at, even if you out thotting.
Yeah.
No, let somebody know you out thotting.
Right, exactly. Absolutely.
Exactly. I was about to say accidentally, but exactly.
Absolutely
and exactly there for y'all. But yeah, that, you know, there are 9 other names that are there. I will give you the names. I'm not going to give their stories, but rest in peace to all of these women that are listed here. Sue Luna, Daylin, Sugar Renee Frey, Paula Golding, Cindy Paulson, Malai Larson, Teresa Watson, Angela Lynn Federn, and Tamara Tammy Peterson. So, I mean, he really did his work with these poor women. I always say, yeah. You know, and okay, so really quick, you guys, external links. I know we mentioned the movie. There was a serial killer series, Article 7. There is another book or movie called Robert Hansen, A Serial Killer in Alaska. And those are the ones, but there was a movie that it looks like it's called The Frozen Ground, 2013 American Thriller Film.
I didn't know it was about that, but didn't his bakery get shut down because of all this shit, or did somebody take it over?
It better have been shut down. By that point, that's just turning into a museum, because now it sounds like he's also using the bakery to kill women.
Yeah.
So I think it goes without saying what makes this man toxic. But I'll say, the reason why I picked him, because you can do 1,000 different, you know, true crimes. It doesn't necessarily mm-hmm. mean that every one of them is toxic. But I think that what makes this one toxic, as well as a murder crime, is the fact of the preparation. It was the obsession in how he prepared himself, you know, his weapons, his body, the locations. I mean, he really built a whole, like, artillery in advance. He even had vehicles to get into and from locations to get the job done.
Right. Yeah, he had, man.
He was a horror movie.
Yeah.
He is a horror movie. He makes Jeffrey Dahmer look like Sid from Toy Story.
Right.
Okay, because, you know, Dahmer's like, oh, I think I see somebody hot at the club. Come home with me. This man's like, I watched somebody hot at the club for 6 months, and now's my time to strike. I'm going to go ahead and put him in the back of the car after drugging him till he falls asleep. And when he wakes up, he'll be in the cabin that he can't escape. Like, what the hell?
Uh-huh.
Right?
That's wild.
Insanity.
That's when you start biting.
Right.
You know, I know it was a different time back then. And I will be honest, I even used to pick up people that were walking down the street and things like that and try and, you know, take them to where they were going. The only time that I didn't do that was when it was like a female and she was with a man. Because for me personally, the way I saw it was, if that's the dick you standing by and he got you walking on the side of the road, that is not my business.
Right.
But if it's like a female or, you know, someone that has kids or whatever, I would pick them up. And there was one incident where I did pick up someone who was a man. But in that scenario, I was at the mall. I was pulling out the mall. My ex-husband, was my husband at the time, was behind me. And the bus saw the guy running towards it, and they took off.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Super fucked up. So I let him get in the car, and I drove him to the next bus stop, like two lights down.
I'm sure she doesn't do it anymore.
No, I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, because I don't want to get worried about you, because this is a true crime error.
Let me tell you guys something. No, so let me tell you something. So what happened was, when I moved out here, okay, based off of one of my episodes a few weeks ago, I did Roommates from Hell, and I talked about the roommate that I had. But when I moved out here, my roommate at the time and I did pick someone up. And it was the last time. That's when I was like, okay, I'm not in Jersey anymore. So we picked this woman up because she's like, oh, I'm just right down the street, okay?
Right.
We picked this woman up because she had a ton of, like, garbage bags and stuff. She gets in the car. She proceeds to not be right down the street.
Oh.
And then also goes into an entire story of all this craziness. She sounded insane and then started asking for money and da-da-da-da. And I was like, yep, so this is the last time I'm ever... picking someone.
Damn. Yeah, absolutely not. So you dropped her off and you had to go hella far?
We drove out at least 15 minutes.
Damn.
And so, mind you, we picked her up. If you're at a bus stop, there's no need for me to pick you up. So if you're randomly walking, my assumption is you're close to where you're going and it's hot and you got bags. So I'm thinking, maybe you're like coming from the laundromat or something like that. But nowadays, worst case scenario, somebody got their finger out and they're trying to get picked up. What I will do is you can meet me over here at this parking lot and I will order you an Uber.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But you can't get up in my car. Yeah. You can't get up in my car. You can get in somebody else's car, but you can't get up in mine.
Mm-hmm. But a blessing to you, you still find a way to do your good deed. See, Nisha, other people doing it, Well, make me feel bad for doing that.
No, but okay, but at the same time, I told you I didn't want you to get murdered because then I wouldn't have a co-host anymore.
I probably would get murdered. That's facts.
Yeah. You can't get murdered. Can't go wrong without Buddha.
Because right. It's one thing if you're Ubering and you're picking people up because now the app can kind of keep track of what's going on.
All yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm going to use your Uber method, though. I will call somebody in Uber. And
that's smart. I didn't even think about that.
I didn't think about that either.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie. Uber's a little more expensive. Sorry, not sorry to everyone. I'm probably going to do a Lyft.
Lyft to
keep taking your bullshit from you, though. Lyft is raunchy. I did like 2-3 Lyft rides and then they just kept charging my car and charging it in another state.
I do Lyft though. I do Lyft all the time. I don't know. But they did keep charging your card. I was like, what the fuck?
And even the bank was like, it just happened. Just block your card, sir. Like,
that's what? Crazy. That's so inconvenient.
Yeah. Lyft is the type to take the money, then put the money back, and then take the money, and now you're in the negative. Like, Lyft is weird.
Yeah.
You're definitely weird. And I like to use like little, like Cash App type of cards for things like that. I don't want them to have my actual banking information.
Right.
Yeah.
Look at her. She's savvy.
Mm-hmm. It's going to either be a Cash App or a credit card that I can dispute. I don't play with Lyft. I don't play with Uber. Because one thing about them, they're going to play right back. So, absolutely. Yeah. But what I will say is, thank you guys so much for being on this episode.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you guys have fun.
We did. We always have fun with you.
Man, loving it.
Listen, y'all wild. Y'all gave me a lot of sound bites, so I thank you in advance. Because I'm going to use them, motherfuckers, okay? I'm going to definitely use them. If anybody who's listening has gotten this far, thank you so much for listening to us. Next week, I won't do a murder one, I promise. I try to keep it few and far between. I just stick to true crime. That's toxic in one capacity or another. But there is a weird one that I think I'm going to do coming up very soon, which is really weird. And that's the best way to, it's just weird. Really, really weird situation. So, but you guys, thank you so much for being a part of the Tea is Toxic yet again. I really do appreciate y'all. At some point, we got to go live on Instagram. Let these people see our faces. Have some fun with that.
Yeah.
Definitely got to do that. And till next week, I'll see you guys later. You guys, please go ahead and listen to Hot Garbage Podcast. They drop on Thursdays, so you can get me on Mondays. You can get them on Thursdays. You can get Nikki June on Sundays on YouTube, which is the Dare to Be Naughty. And till next time, I will see you guys later. Bye.
Bye. Oh, I gotta pee on that. I'll be right back.
All right.